Rejoice in the Lord. Isn't that a great phrase? Praise is comely for the upright. It means it looks good. It's like when you wear something that looks good on you. It's comely. God says that praise is comely for the upright. Amen? And all through the Scriptures, New Testament, Old Testament, we're commanded to rejoice in the Lord. Amen? 1 Thessalonians 5:16, rejoice evermore. And of course, Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Amen? But all through the Scriptures, Psalm 71:8, let's look at a couple examples in Psalms. God wants us to rejoice and praise Him. It should be a natural part of our Christian life, day in, day out, to rejoice in the Lord. Psalm 71:8, let my mouth be filled with thy praise and with thy honor all the day. All day. Look at Psalm 145, verse 21. Psalm 145, verse 21. The Bible says, my mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless His holy name forever and ever. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord. That's what our mouth should be doing. Speaking the praise of the Lord. Rejoicing in the Lord. He talks in verse 2 of our passage about singing. Look at it. Psalm 33, verse 2. Praise the Lord with harp. Sing unto Him with psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings. It's passages like this why we include singing in our worship service. Because we're commanded to. It's part of worshiping the Lord. In verse 3, sing unto the Lord a new song. Amen? A new song. Look at Psalm 42, verse 4, if you would. Psalm 42, verse 4. When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God, with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. There's just nothing like it on earth, is there? Coming to the house of God with the intent of praising the Lord. Rejoicing in the Lord. And that's what David talked about. I had gone with the multitude. I went to the house of God. But God says we're to sing a new song. Psalm 40, verse 3, if you want to turn there. It's part of our salvation that now we sing a new song. David, after talking about God pulling him out of miry clay, out of the horrible pit, he says, and he hath put into my mouth a new song, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Look at Psalm 71, 23, if you would. And so singing is part of it, but a new song. God wants us to sing a new song once we're saved, different from the old songs. In Psalm 71, 23, my lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto thee, and my soul which thou hast redeemed. Where most of you know Isaiah chapter 12, where the Bible says, the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. And that word is the Hebrew word Zimrath, which is actually an instrumental term. So God wants our song to be new. He wants us to rejoice in the Lord always. And then the rest of this passage, verses 4 and 5, he tells us some of the things that we're to rejoice in. And the first one, no surprise, His Word. Amen. Look at it, verse 4. For the Word of the Lord is right. This book should rejoice our hearts. Look at Psalm 19, verse 8, which we sing quite regularly. We sing often Psalm 19, verses 7 through 10. But look at 19:8. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. This book should rejoice the heart. And David said, the word of the Lord is right. I rejoice in the Lord. And one of the things I rejoice in is His word. He says in Psalm 119, 165, 7 times a day do I praise thee, because of thy righteous judgments. I praise God 7 times a day because of His word. Let alone all the other reasons we should be praising the Lord. David said, let's praise the Lord for His word. Look at Psalm 138, verse 2, if you would. And so we're told to rejoice, New Testament, always, evermore. And we're told to sing a new song. And the first thing we see that we're to rejoice in is this precious book, Psalm 138, verse 2. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. Sometimes Christians accuse us of worshiping the word because we emphasize it too much, maybe, to them. But my friend, the word is Jesus, and Jesus is the word. They are one and the same. And God says right here that we're to praise him for his truth, but we're also that he has magnified his word above what? All of his name. This word is a reflection of him. And so the first thing we see in this passage here in Psalm 33 that we're to rejoice in is this amazing book, the Word of God, the quick and powerful sword of the Spirit. Secondly, look at verse 4 of Psalm 33. We're to be praising the Lord for his works, for what he has done. So we have a lot to praise the Lord for, as you'll see when we're finished. Praising him for his word is just the beginning. But notice, and his works are done in truth. All through this book, Psalm 107, verse 8, if you want to turn there quickly, Psalm 107, verse 8, we're told to be praising God for his works, for what he has done. Psalm 107, look at verse 8. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Praising the Lord for his wonderful works. Look at Psalm 150, verse 2. Psalm 150, verse 2. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. So we're not only to be praising the Lord for his word, but for his works, for what he has done. If you're a born-again Christian, you should be praising him for his salvation, for saving you from hell. Amen. Talks about this in Isaiah 61:10, if you want to turn there. Isaiah 61:10, but we could spend all morning, couldn't we, just praising God for what he's done. Not just in the world, not just in the past, but in our own lives. What God has done for me. Amen? Isaiah 61, verse 10, look what it says. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord, and my soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness. We're to praise him for his works, his wonderful works, to the children of men. Jesus talked about answered prayer, bringing joy to our hearts. In John 16, he says, you've asked nothing in my name, ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. In John 16, verse 24. And then Romans 5, 2, if you want to turn there, we're told that we're to rejoice in our hope, which is part of God's works, that we have a hope, that he's died for us, he's risen again for us, and our hope is he's coming back for us to take us to glory, to spend forever with him. But Romans chapter 5, look at verse 2. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Rejoice in hope. Jesus is coming back. That's something to rejoice in. Jesus has saved us from hell. That's something to rejoice in. His wonderful works to the children of men. All things work together for good. Amen. To them that love God. Romans 8, 28. But let's look at 1 Peter 4:12. His works, by the way, would include the trials that he allows in our lives. And yes, we're even to rejoice in those. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice. Inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. Amen? Rejoice. Rejoice even in the trials. So we're to rejoice in the Lord for his amazing word. We're to rejoice in the Lord for his wonderful works. Number three, back in our passage, Psalm 33, verse 5, we're to rejoice in the Lord for who he is. How much time could we spend just doing that? Just praising God for who he is. The Bible says in verse 5, he loveth righteousness and judgment. the God that has saved us, the God of the Bible, the God of the universe, is a holy God. He's a righteous God. He's a loving God. He's a merciful and gracious and long-suffering God. And we need to be praising Him just for His person. The one that has saved us is the precious one that we need to just be praising. Look at Psalm 16, verse 11, if you would. Psalm chapter 16 and verse 11. We are to be praising God for His person. And we saw this recently in the beginning of the Song of Moses on Sunday night a few weeks ago. That the song started out with just lifting God up for who He is. Psalm 16, verse 11. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In Thy presence is fullness of joy. Amen. At Thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Psalm 29, verse 2, if you want to turn there. The Bible talks about His holiness, His number one moral attribute in Scripture. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. His holiness. We should be praising God for who He is. Psalm 99, verse 3 says, let them praise Thy great and terrible name, for it is holy. David says, rejoice in the Lord. Paul says, rejoice in the Lord. Peter says, rejoice in the Lord. All through the Scriptures. And we're to rejoice in the Lord, not only for His word, not only for what He's done, but for who He is. But this fourth one is beautiful, especially for those of us that live in this beautiful country. Verse 5, the earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. Sometimes we take it for granted, but I think we live in the most beautiful country in the world. I'm sure you, most of you, agree. We should be praising the Lord for what He's made. He's the Creator. The Bible says, Psalm 19, verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth His handiwork. I don't know about you, but sometimes, you know, just when I'm out, maybe on a run or whatever, and I just look up at the hills and just say, Lord, thank You. I praise You for Your creation. It's just, it's amazing. And when I lived in the desert, I did the same thing. It was just different. But notice Psalm 118, verse 24. Most of you know this. One of our songs that we sing. The Bible says, this is the day which the Lord hath made. Amen. What does it say next? We will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. We will rejoice in what God has made. He's made this day. He's made everything. And God wants us to rejoice in His creation. Psalm 150, verse 6, the last verse in Psalms. I love it. It's not just talking about human beings. I think it's talking about all of His creation. It says, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Everything that hath breath brings glory to God, because it's as part of His creation. And He made it for us. Think about that. He made it for us. And then put us here and gave us some instructions, and we broke them. But then He came back and died for us. Praise God, and rose again. So God wants us to rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in His word. Can't thank God enough for His word. At least 7 times a day, David said, we should praise Him because of His righteous judgments. We need to be praising the Lord for what He's done. Not only in the Bible, not only in the past, but even in our own lives. Thank You, Lord, for all the goodness You've shown to me. Your wonderful works, even to me. We should be rejoicing in the Lord and who He is. And we could spend so long on just how amazing our God is. You know, when you think about the heathen, almost all the time when they find heathen worshiping gods, the gods are angry, the gods are mean, the gods are evil. They have to appease them somehow. But the God of the universe is holy. and righteous and loving and long-suffering and merciful. That's the God that we need to be praising God for. And then lastly, His creation, what He's made. Every time we walk out the door, we can say, "Thank you. I praise you, Lord, when I look at your creation." So God wants our life to be a life of praise. Amen. In verse 1, what does He say? It's comely. It looks good on us when we what? Praise the Lord. So we need to be doing it all the time. There's always something to praise the Lord for, even the trials, as we saw in 1 Peter 4. Always something to praise the Lord for, to rejoice in the Lord for. I didn't speak to you, but if you're here and you're not even sure that you're born again Christian going to heaven, it would be good if you praise the Lord, but what would be more important is if you found Christ as your Savior, found eternal life, and then had a real reason to praise the Lord, and that is that He gave you a home in heaven, amen, and forgave you of your sins. That's where it all begins, salvation. Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And so I would encourage you as we sing a hymn together in a few moments, just to slip out and come forward and say, you know, I'm not sure I'm saved. I believe there's a God or I wouldn't be in church, but I'm not sure that I'm born again as Jesus said I must be. And we'll have someone take God's word, the Bible, and show you the gospel of Jesus Christ. And today is the day you can be born again. Those of us that are Christians, let's rejoice in the Lord. Let's pray. How we love you, Lord, and just can't thank you enough for who you are, for what you've done, for the word of God that you've given us, for your creation. Lord, we just praise you. And Lord, may we learn how comely it is to praise you constantly, lift you up, rejoice in what you've done and who you are. And I pray, Lord, that this would become a natural thing for us as your blood-bought children. Lord, maybe we just needed to be reminded of this today and have your will and way in our hearts in this matter. How we love you and praise you and thank you for giving us your word that we might rejoice in you. We love you. We pray all this in the